Blog Talk Radio.
There are moments nothing can replace. Heaven and earth meet face to face. With a broken heart begins to change. Word takes on flesh and soul finds faith. Where the unfulfilled are satisfied, and the unknown scars are reconciled. There's an open door to brand new life. Up close in the presence of the Savior. And I just wanna be in the room. Wanna be.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. The title of our show tonight is The Comforter Has Come by Pastor Raymond Woodward. We're bringing you what was preached as a Christmas message. Guess we're a day late and a dollar short. We promise that this sermon is one that you will enjoy if you were hearing it in July. Pastor Raymond Woodward of Canada is one of the best teachers and preachers of our time, and that is our opinion here at Your Place. This message is not just about something you may or may not have looked at in the history of the birth of Jesus, but it ties into where we live in today in a very anointed way. It even speaks of our promise that we are all watching and praying for. At the end of this show, we'll open up the mic so that you can ask a question or make a comment. All you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone, and I will identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. And now, let's have a listen.
He once said, "I am a Christian, cleverly disguised as an artist." And his personal mission statement is to reclaim the arts for Christ. Maybe that's why he's my favorite artist and why several of his pieces decorate the walls in our home. Ron DeCiani grew up in Chicago, attended the American Academy of Art, and eventually embarked on a career in commercial illustration. He did lots of work for large corporations like McDonald's and many others, but something was still missing in his life. And then in 1989, Ron decided he needed more than the comforts that were afforded by a successful career. That year, he created a painting called Spiritual Warfare, and that launched a new phase in his life, and it also launched something of a revolution in Christian art. It's a profound piece of art showing a father praying at the bedside of his sleeping son with the shadow of the cross falling across that little boy and angelic beings waging war in the sky just outside his window. It's a powerful picture of the importance of a parent's prayer. In 2013, Ron DeCiani created the painting, Before I Formed You in the Womb. It depicts the hand of Jesus gently touching the belly of an expectant mother. And it's very significant. In a world where 125,000 babies are aborted every day, this piece not only affirms that life is precious, but it is also a very personal painting for Ron DeCiani. Because in 1951, his parents, his grandmother, his aunt, and his brother all shared one very cramped inner city apartment on Chicago's north side. Another baby seemed like an unbearable burden, so Ron's pregnant mom went to have an abortion. She was already on the table, and the doctor was all set to give her the first injection that would initiate the procedure. But back at home in that cramped little apartment, Ron's Pentecostal grandmother was praying. And as the needle came within an inch of his mother's arm, she heard the voice of God saying, "Don't do this. I have a plan for this baby." And she literally slapped the needle away, walked out of that clinic, and gave Ron a chance to live. I love so many of his paintings, but The Prodigal is another one that is very special to me, and a limited edition of that print hangs in my office at home. It portrays a weeping, worshiping father in biblical garb, and he's embracing his wayward son, now come home. The boy's dressed in modern clothing, and a servant runs toward them carrying a robe and sandals. The subtle form of a dove in the sunlit clouds, and the shadow of the cross on the ground of the harvest field, they complete the picture of a warm welcome back to Father's house. It's beautiful. Tonight, I'd like to use one of Ron DeCiani's beautiful Christmas paintings as the backdrop for our Bible study. It's called Simeon's Moment, and it captures the joy of this elderly man as he holds the infant Jesus in the temple courtyard. A map of the world is superimposed on the scene because this little Messiah will become salvation for all people and a light to lighten the Gentiles. And aren't you glad about that? So literally, Simeon's moment becomes our moment too. We usually read the Christmas story from the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. But tonight I want to take you 40 days after the manger. Two rituals were required by the law of Moses after the birth of a boy. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God first made with Abraham, and it was required of every Jewish male child. And so Jesus was circumcised and officially named on the eighth day after his birth, Luke 2, verse 21. But the amazing thing on that day was that this baby, he was the one who would later say, before Abraham was, I am. So that baby was literally the God who had initiated that covenant with Abraham in the first place. Jesus didn't need an official ceremony in the Jewish temple on the eighth day for his name to be revealed, because his name had already been revealed and announced and worshiped by angelic hosts. Circumcision was only the beginning. After 40 days, Mary and Joseph had to return to the temple for her purification ceremony in Luke 2, verse 22 and 23. That ceremony is described in Leviticus 12. And they also had to redeem their boy according to Numbers 18 because the firstborn of the human family and the firstborn of the animal kingdom had to be redeemed. And so since Jesus was Mary's firstborn son, they had to redeem him. On that 40th day, they would pay 5 shekels of silver to redeem that firstborn son. But on that 40th day, it's an amazing picture to think about. They are redeeming the Redeemer who would one day redeem all of us with his precious blood. The law also required them, maybe this is the most beautiful to me, the law required them to bring a lamb for the sacrifice on that 40th day, unless they were too poor to afford a lamb. And then the law provided for those who didn't have the funds that they could bring 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves. And according to Luke 2:24, that is exactly what Mary and Joseph had to do because they were poor. They couldn't afford to buy a lamb. But Mary walked into that temple holding the Lamb of God in her arms. It's beautiful. And it's on this day, the 40th day after the manger, the 40th day after Jesus' birth, it's on this day that they encounter an old man named Simeon in the temple courtyard. He holds no official position in the temple, but he just comes there often because the Bible says he is a just and a devout man. And unlike so many of the other religious leaders that actually work in the temple, Simeon is actually expecting the Messiah to appear. Others have forgotten it. Others are too busy to think about it. Others are too distracted by everyday life. But this elderly man comes to the temple every day expecting that today could be the day that the Messiah appears. Because God has given Simeon a promise. God has revealed to him that he will see the Christ in his lifetime. And he has been praying and believing and holding on to that promise for years. And Luke tells us in his account of this elderly man. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Everyone say consolation. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon was led by God's Spirit to go to the temple on this day, at this very hour, at this specific moment. Because for decades, he has been waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation is a messianic term because the old prophet Isaiah, 600 years earlier, had spoken repeatedly of God's comfort that would come. He said things like this, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. And here the prophet foretells John the Baptist's ministry. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let me tell you, if God ever speaks something, it shall, it will, it must come to pass. Isaiah said it repeatedly all through his writing. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. He said, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So it's everywhere in the prophet Isaiah's writing. Now, 30 years from this very moment, Jesus will read these next words in a synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth. That's 30 years in the future. But right now, on this day, the 40th day past the manger, in this prophetic moment, the elder Simeon literally holds the consolation of Israel in his arms. 30 years from this moment, Jesus will stand in the synagogue in Nazareth, in his hometown, and he will say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. My goodness, I feel like backing up and reading that whole verse again, because that's more than just spiritual stuff. That's happened to people in this room. He has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He has come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Watch, to comfort all that mourn, to be the consolation from heaven for all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, even God's people who from time to time in this everyday human life we are called upon to go through times of sadness and hurt and pain and mourning. But here's the good news, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Here's a good one, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Every once in a while, you've just got to overlook the heaviness that is upon you, and you've got to put on a garment of praise. You say, I don't want to put on. Well, the scripture tells you to put on. Ignore what the devil's saying. Ignore what your circumstances are saying to you, and put on the garment of praise in the place of the spirit of heaviness. Here's what you'll find. Your emotions will eventually catch up with your praise. Your emotions will eventually catch up with the Holy Ghost that is in you. that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he, the ultimate purpose is that he might be glorified. Whew. I love preaching Christmas stuff. The word constellation in the Greek language of the New Testament is paraklesis, and it means called near to help. And that's why the phrase, the consolation of Israel, what Simeon was waiting for, longing for, hoping for, expecting, looking for, the phrase, the consolation of Israel, embodies the hope of the Jewish people, because paraklesis or consolation means called near to help. And here's what the Jewish people knew, that when their call is answered, and when their comfort comes, it will be the Messiah with them to help them. But watch this. The word consolation in the New Testament is almost identical to the word for comforter in the Greek language. That word is parakletos, and it means one called near to help. Does the New Testament ever talk anywhere at any time about the Comforter? You know that it does. Paraklesis is the promise, but parakletos is the person. The consolation is God with them, but the Comforter, who will be God in them. 33 years from this very moment, Jesus will speak these words to his troubled disciples at the Last Supper. It will be just before he goes to Calvary. The environment in Jerusalem will be very treacherous and dangerous, and the disciples will have a sense that Jesus is not long for this world, and the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes and the Sadducees, they're on the attack, and they're looking for Jesus, and it's not going to end well. And the disciples are nervous, and Jesus will speak these words to him. That is 33 years in the future from the manger, but right now on this day, in this prophetic moment, the elder Simeon holds the one who will be the comforter of the apostolic church, and he holds him in his arms. 33 years from Simeon's moment, Jesus will say this to his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him." Why do you know him? "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then Jesus gives them the prophetic punchline. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The Holy Ghost is not a little piece of Jesus. It's not a spirit that's similar to Jesus. The Holy Ghost in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Jesus that was born in a manger. The Jesus that walked the streets of Jerusalem and the shores of Galilee. The Jesus who died, was buried, and rose again. He is here tonight. He's our special guest tonight. He is not here in physical form. He's not here as a baby or a boy or a man. He's here by the awesome power of his eternal spirit, and that is the Comforter. My goodness. He said it this way, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." This is why it's so important for you to have the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, in your life, because when you're distanced from your Bible and you're distanced from the sanctuary and you're distanced from pastor's voice and it's just a normal, average, everyday morning, noon, night, it's just one of those days and you don't have any resources and the church worship team isn't singing and the church family isn't praying, but if you've got the Comforter, you've still got a word from God in your spirit. Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Ghost isn't given to you so you can just have a private bless me club. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost will teach you the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will give you the desire to submit to the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. It's the Spirit of truth, and it will repeat to you what the Word says. And Jesus said this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It's not only necessary, it's expedient. Expedient means it's necessary, but it's also beneficial. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, the disciples at this moment, they don't want to hear that, but he says it anyway. It's going to be of benefit to you. In fact, it's necessary that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You see, because of the nature of the incarnation, God robed in a body of flesh, God a baby in a manger, God a boy in the temple, God a man walking the streets of Jerusalem, because of the nature of the incarnation, the Almighty God limited himself. It was the great condescension. He limited himself to one body, one place at one time for 33 and a half years. That's why he said to his disciples, it's a benefit to you if I go away, because if I go away, we're not in the incarnation anymore. Now we're in the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. I can put my Spirit in tens of thousands of my people, and they can do what I can do. They can pray and God can answer. They can see miracles, signs, and wonders. In fact, you know that Jesus said, and greater things than these shall you do. Why? Because I go to my Father. The devil thought he was having a bad time when Jesus was on the earth walking around. The devil did not know how good he had it. Because if Jesus was over there in Jericho, he couldn't be over here in Jerusalem. And if Jesus was over there in Jerusalem, he couldn't be up there in the Galilee. The devil thought he had it bad. He didn't know how good he had it. Because once the day of Pentecost happened and 120 received the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and then it spread to 3,120 in a single day, and then it's 5,000 here and 3,000 more there, and eventually it's cities and it's regions being impacted. All of a sudden, the devil is encountering the power of God in human vessels. That's why Peter and John could walk into the temple at the hour of prayer and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What do you got, Peter? I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me. I've got Jesus living in me. I've got the Comforter in me. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. We celebrated a miracle in this church on Sunday. You see, the Holy Ghost that works through your prayers is the same Spirit that was in the man Christ Jesus. It was the favorite song of the Azusa Street Revival over a century ago. They sang it just about every service. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. It's the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, because the Comforter has come. The Comforter's here tonight. You see, those Greek words, paraklesis is the promise, but parakletos is the person. The consolation, that's God with them. We've got something greater. It's not just the consolation, God with them. Now we have the Comforter, God in us. And back to Simeon's moment. Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple. And when those parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law on the 40th day, Mary's day of purification, Jesus' day of being redeemed under the law for 5 shekels of silver. On that day, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he began to speak. You see, throughout their history, the people of Israel had suffered greatly. They'd suffered with generations of slavery, centuries of conflict, decades of exile. And many of them hoped that the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, would now help them throw off the yoke of Rome so they could be free politically. But the comfort that Jesus brought to them was far better than political freedom could ever be, because he came to set them free spiritually. You may not be a political science major, and even if you are, your university or school or college may have buried this in the dust of those dusty old books. But you only have to be a student of human history to realize that every nation where the gospel of Jesus Christ has penetrated in great measure, that's a free nation. And every nation, every culture and religion where the gospel has not penetrated, look around your world. You don't need a Bible. You don't need a pastor to tell you this. All you need to do is look around your world. Look at those nations, those cultures, those regions, those religions where the gospel has not penetrated. And you will find tyrants and dictators, and you'll find people enslaved in all kinds of ideologies and false religion and darkness and even persecution. I'm so glad that the consolation came to me. I'm so glad that it's not just the consolation with me, it's the comforter in me. And because of that, Jesus said, he that the Son has set free, he is free indeed. I'm grateful for a wonderful, blessed nation like Canada. I'll tell you what I'm way more grateful for. I'm grateful I don't live in a free nation in the jail of my own spirit. I'm glad I don't live in a free nation bound up in my own addiction. I'm glad I don't live in a free nation and I'm still a slave to sin. He that the Son has set free, he's really free, truly free. Oh, I wish you'd worship him for a second. That would be good. I don't mean that. I mean worship him. Lift up your voice and your hands and everything you got, your words and your vocabulary. I mean worship him. The Comforter has come. The Comforter is here. He's not just with us or near us. He's in us. Thank you, God. Whew. I just need to take a time out because some of you, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the Comforter living in you. I wish you'd just give vent to that and just worship him and pray in the Spirit for a little bit. That's the Comforter. He's your comfort in time of sorrow, in time of persecution, in time of darkness and trouble, in time of opposition. The Comforter has come. Lendo lo she rebaha. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, God. It doesn't matter what I go through if the Comforter is with me. It doesn't matter what I have to go through if the Comforter lives inside of me. After all those years of hoping and longing and praying and looking for the consolation of Israel, God allowed Simeon, imagine, to hold the Messiah in his arms. And when that old man looked into the face of that little baby that was just a little over a month old, 40 days, when he looked into the face of that child, that old elder of Israel saw the fulfillment of all the hopes and prayers of all the Jewish people through all the ages. But what Simeon couldn't see and what Simeon didn't know was that God was just getting started. Yes, Simeon, the consolation is here, but the Comforter is coming. You didn't get that. Let me just back that up. The consolation is here. God with us. But the comforter is coming. God in us. That's why Jesus said it was necessary for him to go away so the Holy Ghost could be poured out and take the gospel not only to the Jews but to the Gentiles and to everyone everywhere. Today, I'm glad to tell you, this apostolic church that you are part of, it is worldwide. You've got brothers and sisters you will never meet, maybe never even imagine that they exist on this side of heaven. But when you get there, you're going to just see how big and how all-encompassing and how worldwide this church actually is. And on that day, Simeon, as he held that little boy in his arms, that little baby, 40 days old, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. On that day, holding that little month-old baby in his arms, Simeon said, now that I've held the consolation in my arms, I can depart in peace. I have everything I need because I've held the consolation in my arms. If I never see another blessing, I can depart in peace because I've held the consolation in my arms. If I never have another good day, part in peace. If I never experience another answered prayer, I can depart in peace, Lord, because I've held the consolation in my arms. If my life ends tomorrow, it's enough that I've held the consolation in my arms. And I would say something very similar. Jesus, now that I have the Comforter in my heart, I can depart in peace. I have everything I need. You listen to me. If I never see another blessing, it's enough that I have the Comforter. If I never have another good day, it's enough that I have the Comforter. If I never experience an answer to another one of my prayers, I'm content, I'm blessed, I'm happy because I have the Comforter in my heart. If my life would end tomorrow, it's enough, Jesus. You privileged me to live my life with the Comforter in my heart. The Comforter has come. I've had the Holy Ghost for nearly 50 years, and this experience is both precious and powerful to me, like it is to so many of you. The Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us, is both a spiritual birth, John 3:6, and a spiritual baptism, 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is the seal of God's promise, and it is the earnest of our inheritance, Ephesians 1:13 and 14. The Bible tells us that this Holy Ghost is living water that flows out of our belly like a river, John 7:38 and 39. And the same Bible tells me that this Comforter, this Holy Ghost, is power from on high, according to Luke 24 and 49. Isaiah said in chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, that the Holy Ghost would be the rest that God gives us when we are weary. And Paul said the Holy Ghost is the spirit of adoption. It places us in God's family, and it makes us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8, 14 to 17. This is the Comforter. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the Holy Ghost. Don't you let anybody, anywhere, anytime, for any reason, make you feel a little silly that you're one of those tongue-talking Pentecostals. In the Bible, there is no other kind of Christian except a tongue-talking Pentecostal believer baptized in the only saving name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not shy about it. I have the Comforter in me. It is Christ in me. Woo! The hope of glory. I wish you'd lift up your hands, and you heard me say it all the time, and lift your voice higher than your hands. The Comforter is not just here. He's here. The Comforter isn't just with us. He's in us. The Comforter has come. The greatest gift God could ever give humanity. The Comforter has come. Ropa telehesia roto la basiesa baha. John uses that word, comforter, parakletos, four times in his gospel and one other time in the New Testament, in his first epistle. But it's translated differently in English in that verse, so you'll miss it if you're not looking for it. 1 John 2 and 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's the goal. That's the standard. That's the target. But because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Advocate is the Greek word parakletos, one called to help. Even when we sin, even when we fail, even when we fall, and even when we don't measure up, the Holy Ghost is one called near to help. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my water when I'm thirsty. He's my strength when I'm weak. He's my joy in times of sorrow. He is my hope for tomorrow. He is my shelter in the time of every storm. He is my rock, and he is my shield, and he is my fortress, and he is my strong tower. He is my comforter. I don't know what you need tonight, but I got a message for you. He's your comforter. He can come closer than anybody. He can come nearer than anyone. He can lift you when nobody else can lift you. He can help you when nobody else can help you. He can deliver you when nothing else can deliver you, because he's the Comforter. He's not just God with us. He's God in us. The greatest gift God could ever have conceived was to put his Spirit in frail human flesh. He did it in the incarnation when he came to this earth, and it was magnificent and supernatural. But he blew the devil's mind when he took that same Spirit. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you understand that the same Spirit that inhabited the body of the man Christ Jesus, raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, made cripples walk, opened deaf ears, cleansed lepers, do you realize that same Spirit dwells in you? It blew the devil's mind. It still blows my mind. Simeon lived his entire life anticipating the first appearing of Jesus. I've decided to live my life in anticipating the second appearing of Jesus. Simeon got his prayer answered because every day he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us about being ready for the second coming of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Anybody looking for Jesus? Oh, I know you're busy. It's Christmas week. I know you're busy. There's all kinds of things to do, and they're all wonderful. They're all delightful and fun and necessary and beautiful. I wouldn't rob you one second of your celebration. But no matter what day of the year it is, I hope there's something in you that keeps one eye on the eastern sky. I hope there's something in you that just looks and longs and waits for his appearing. Unto them that look for him. Yeah, so many people will miss it because they're not looking for him. Titus, Paul wrote to him and he said, "Titus, here's how we live, Titus. Here's how you pastor, Titus. Here's how you lead, Titus. Here's what you preach and teach. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." If I could give you a gift to lead into this Christmas season in the week of Christmas, it would be a couple of things. Number one, to realize that the Comforter is the greatest gift you have ever, will ever receive. The Comforter, Christ in you. But the second thing I'd give you is an awareness that Jesus is coming soon. They didn't expect him the first time. They don't expect him the second time. They weren't looking for him the first time. Only Simeon. The world isn't looking for him the second time. But hey, Jesus, there are some people still living on this planet. We are looking for that great appearing, that glorious appearing, that blessed hope. I'm done. I just came to preach to you for a few minutes tonight. The Comforter has come.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that as much as I did. I love to hear him preach. That was Pastor Raymond Woodward, Blog Talk Mom.
Yes, I do also, Sister Starla. He is one of my absolute favorite ministers of the Word of God ever since the first sermon that I heard him preach at a conference. He was preaching on the lady that she just wanted to touch the hem of God's, you know, just the hem of his garment. And it was just a tremendous move as he preached it of healing and restoration. He is very, very anointed. And I know all the time he was preaching, I thought, "Lord bless Sister Starlin Wildville for doing this." Because, you know, don't you love it when you're listening to something, and not that it's not all wonderful, the entire Bible, but when you know that it's just there, like God speaking directly to you to encourage you and direct you, that's the way it was tonight. It was just beautiful. And I hope Wildville is going to be able to be with us tonight.
Well, I don't think he's ready quite yet.
There's a conflict in his schedule now. But usually through the years, as he would work on a program, be led by the Lord to choose who and what was going to be on the program, it seems like God would just give him that little nugget, or maybe not little, that would really bless, really, really bring closure to certain thoughts. And I always love it. And other people do too. They've told me that they do also. So I'm going back through the Bible, really have different Bible reading methods and charts. But this particular time I felt led to go straight through I mean, I will add addendums and other scriptures and whatever, but I want to go straight through. And it is amazing. It's just amazing. I've studied the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I'm talking about like 50-something years. It was sort of amusing today. I'm working in a private school helping out right now, and a young boy that's been ill, this was the first time that I was actually there and was teaching when he got there. And somehow it came up that 83 years old, and I love him to pieces because he looked like you couldn't be 83. I thought, well, you're going to get straight A's, buddy. Be complimentary like that. I'm sorry, playing around like that. But and it is a supernatural, God-given, it is His Word. And I've never, it's just amazing how I get something every time I start reading. Yesterday, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't stop. Well, I mean, I could have naturally, but it was so delightful, and I was just wide awake. So I began to take, as usual, 30 pages of notes. I've got to change that, because then you've got to either file them away or something. So I guess I'm gonna be like young people and start putting them on my computer with headings. Wouldn't that be good? Then I wouldn't lose them or have to work at reading them after I've written so much. It gets a little scrabbly, but it's just fascinating to me. And he brought out about the Spirit of God and how when man had been waiting in the temple, just waiting, and there he recognized him. That was it. That was the Messiah. That was just, and you know, all of us were so different. And that encourages me that a young lady ministered in our church Sunday, and she taught about the danger and the unprofitable thought patterns when we compare ourselves with anybody or anything. We are unique. And if we allow that thought pattern to get in, then we get confused, because Satan is the accuser, and he's always going to be able to come up with something to make us feel inadequate or inferior or the wrong motive or whatever. But we don't do that. We walk with God. We wait on God. We worship God, and we belong to Him. And it was so beautiful. Had an altar full. We had about 40 visitors, and the altar was just full. It was beautiful. I know that Wild Bill is truly led by the Holy Ghost when he picks the different programs. I was, again, as I listened to that, I was so grateful and so, you know, just grateful that you, and I know you had to work at bringing my programs together harder than you would with a minister like that. And I just love y'all, and I appreciate it with all my heart for all you've done for me.
Well, we appreciate you helping us every week with the show, because I don't know how we would do it without you.
That's cute, because it's the highlight of my week. I love it. I mean, really, I like the way that, because I know that, like we mentioned, that Wild Bill's led by the Holy Ghost, and then I need and want to get back to reminding people that have asked me to remind them, because they work and go to school and whatever, and then if I don't remind them, then that's like, oh wow, it was last night. And of course I won't do that with this program, but I've done it with a few other things lately. Told me today that couldn't remember what day it was, and I thought, well, I'm not going to make fun of you because it's not an unusual thing anymore. Very, very interesting that a minister pastors a church, and he has on YouTube, he has unlimited amount of sermons and lessons he teaches and preaches, and it's just a privilege to add that to your Bible study. If you're studying on a particular subject, to look him up on YouTube, and then he'll have a teaching on it, or he always has when I look it up for something that I'm looking for. And it's so anointed that if I'm going to teach on a subject, or I'm just studying it for myself, and I'm talking with someone or listening to someone that is anointed, it's almost like a prophet. It ministers deeper than just studying out of a book, you know, and praying, and that's wonderful. But it's really a privilege to get to listen to him and follow the path that he'll take you on whatever subject that it is. And he's been at the conference here in Mississippi before also. But, of course, with COVID, all the conferences are seemingly different arrangements. In fact, at my age, I don't really go anymore. But I did go to a couple, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. There is a power in coming together as the body of Christ and letting the Holy Ghost, you know, it's there. The Holy Ghost of God's right there. I think I hear Wild Bill.
What do you do?
I'll be here, but he's standing out here in the rain.
I'm
able to sleep, but they still hadn't got my stuff loaded yet, so I just stepped out here for a second. But, you know, I don't know why, but I never missed the part about Simeon before that he didn't actually have a job in the temple. You know, that he wasn't part of the everyday, the goings-on, the trappings and everything and what was to go on there. But yet he had a faith, and he responded to that faith, and he was there to take advantage of what was, you know, he had been promised. And I was thinking when I thought about that, how many promises do we have? And we know that God's promises are yea and amen. And how many of those promises do we really watch for? And how many of those promises do we really expect? And how many of those promises do we really reach out and take advantage of? And then how many of them do we not? And I don't know, it's funny, the direction that this spoke to you is so different than what it spoke to me. It seemed to me to be an end time thing to call out to take stock, because the whole thing was that they were supposed to receive power, greater works than these, or we're supposed to do. And whether Peter says, such as I have, give I thee. And I wonder sometimes if it's just something has transpired with time where we don't have that same connection that Peter did. If we, you know, because with time, things can become common to us. They can become just, you know, same old, same old. It can become habit. It can become just like, you know, once you were, like you got a new car, it's great when it's new. But then after a while, it's just your car. And then you don't quite take as good a care of it. You don't keep it as clean as you did. You don't worry about scratches on it. You don't worry about trash piling up in the back seat. You know, it's one of those things that just becomes part of the things that you have. And I thought, you know, Lord, I don't want the Holy Ghost to be something. You know, how in the world can I look for what's coming next if I don't take advantage of what I already have? And one of the scriptures that came to my mind when I was looking at this was where they said they cast out demons in his name, they prayed for the sick and they recovered. And I'm like, Jesus didn't say that they didn't do those things. They cast out demons in his name, they prayed for the sick and they recovered. And yet he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. He called their work that they did iniquity. They were bragging, I cast out demons in your name. He called it iniquity. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Just how in the world can you Can you get us so wrapped up into the things of church, into the things of working for God, that we lose something in that connection? And then I got to thinking, you know, how many demons have I laid hands on to cast out? How many people have I laid hands on that were healed instantly? And you're saying, well, you're kind of pinning yourself into a very narrow corner there, Brother Bill. But maybe sometimes we need to put ourselves back in that corner. There was fire that came with the Holy Ghost when it first came. And I believe it's not a physical fire that we see, but there is a fire that falls with the Holy Ghost. There's power that's to be added to us when we receive the Holy Ghost. And the Bible even talks about those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power therein. And something about all this is just stirring something deep within me to think, okay, I got to get closer. I got to get deeper. I got to make sure that I'm connected in a way that I've never been before, because if I don't do it, who's going to? And I was telling people at church this last week, you know, have you ever had someone you go up and say, hey, give me a high five, and you put your hand up and they just kind of leave you hanging? And I thought, you know, we talk about praise and worship with God so much sometimes, but then do we leave God hanging? Has he got his hand? I'm like, yeah, come on. I inhabit the praise of my people. Come on, you know. Yeah, praise and worship. You know, I'm going to set up a habitation there. The song at the beginning of this, you know, rip the roof off, lower me down, whatever it takes. You know, I want a move of God. Have we got to that point to where we're letting other people establish a move of God, to where we're getting a splash over blessing? Or are we doing our part to make sure that we're part of what it takes to have a move of God happen? Are we willing to be the catalyst? Are we willing to be the one to press through? Are we willing to be the one that says, yes, it's going to be me today? Anyway, I know I was kind of, like I say, putting this in a very narrow light and everything, but I'm going to leave this to you guys because I'm really getting wet. And they finally got my truck loaded up and ready for me to go, and so I'm fixing to get out of here. But I'd love to hear your comments on this, Starla and Blog Talk Mom.
As usual, I feel like that while Bill had the message that the Lord is giving right now to the church, and it's the, in this study that I'm doing in Deuteronomy, that's where I am right now. I begin in Genesis, and it really, the title could be exactly what we've talked about or what while Bill mentioned, that it's got to stir us to take our personal responsibility that God has invested in us to do he's got a plan, and we're all part of that plan. This lesson that in Deuteronomy in chapter, I think it's Deuteronomy 17, if a person would read the different festivals that God planned for the church, he started it in the Old Testament, but he had every part of it, had a beautiful plan, a connection to what God was going to do at whatever point of time that we are living. And, you know, you had responsibility in the Old Testament to do it exactly like God said to do it, exactly, because each part represented what? It represented him. It's all about him, Christ in us, our hope of glory. And the teacher had compared the Deuteronomy 17 to Leviticus, and it's the seven different feast days, what they represented. All of them have been fulfilled, but I believe three or four that's beginning to be like a pattern or a timeline till the end of time, till the absolute end of time. The rapture fits in there. The time that God establishes the millennial reign, the time that he pronounces the Israel and the kingship and all of that that's in the last day teachings, and it fits right in. I enjoyed it so much, and I highly recommend anybody and everybody getting back into the Word of God like you have. Well, maybe you are. I didn't mean that like everybody is not, but If everybody's like I am, you can put it off, or you can study it on a superficial, you're doing it, you're spending time with it, but it's really not like being shut in with the Lord. And like while Bill was talking about doing miracles, we must always remember that when the Lord came back, they said in the Bible, we did all of these miracles in your name, Lord, in your name. And he said, I never knew you. And knew, the word knew, if you follow it in Scripture, it is an absolute, more intimate than anything physically intimate. It is a supernatural coming together with God, allowing that spirit that he's filled us with to dominate and work out the situations rather than worry and struggle. And I need that. I don't know about other people, but I have to, just like my car, I got to keep oil in it, gasoline, and the tires balanced. And all of that represents something about my life, my personal life, if I'm going to fulfill what God has called me and placed in me in the timeline. So I hope I didn't jump around to too many different things because, as usual, there's so much to it. And I saw a lot of this. I had never actually studied the festivals. I've always been drawn to them. Foot washing and communion, as I've mentioned many times, it has so much value to me that I'm convicted that I don't do it more often and do it in the way that I feel to do it because, as I've shared, I was very, very, had a horrible ailment. My bosom, it was like a huge, huge tumor. And I wasn't even going for prayer. I was going to the foot washing service at the Lighthouse University School Church in Beebe, Arkansas. And I had never actually done that. And I just wanted to be cooperative. But as I cooperated and we washed each other's feet, the ladies, and we did the communion, that huge tumor or swelling, it just left, and I'd had it for so long. And that made a tremendous impression on me. And then as my husband was passing away, with just a few days at the most to live, he wanted to have foot washing communion. He and I, we did, and it was the most profound presence of God I've ever felt. And as we completed it, he looked at me, the glory of God was all over both of us, and he shared his testimony. He'd been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was naturally repentance involved, but things happen in our life. They just happen. Life is life. And when we went through the festival, the ceremony of foot washing and communion, he had received something he had never, ever told me and shared with me, the glory of God. It was so beautiful. And these things are not just in there just for Christmas or just for all of those types of things. They're in there because God placed it in the Word of God. Each thing, we are to approach it with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength will work like God intended it to do. And he told at the Passover, at the laughter, they had done the regular Passover of coming out of Egypt. He said, this is my body. He was talking about his own body. He was the lamb. He was the spotless lamb. He was the one, the power, the love, the plan to bring them out of bondage. And he brought me out of bondage, a lot worse, I think, than Egypt. And I praise God for foot washing and communion services. I think it's so beautiful, all the festivals. So I don't, that means more to me than I'm probably even making it sound, but I know that everybody doesn't see it the same way, so I don't want to bring it up right now because it's such a beautiful message. My brother Woodward, and anybody else have anything to say, Sister Starla?
I enjoy it also. I really do. There is just something that you experience during print washing and cleaning that you just don't, that you don't get any other time. And it is a wonderful, beautiful experience.
It is. And, you know, he said we show forth that it's him. All when we do these types of things in obedience to him, forever. I mean, it's not going to stop. And it's sort of a humbling thing. In fact, I was very shocked that that my husband wanted to do that. And he passed away within 24 hours of that service that we had. And it was supernatural all the way. Doctors had warned us of so many horrible things that would manifest. Nothing. He looked more handsome than he ever did. And it was just beautiful. It was wonderful. God is God. And everything, he doesn't put things in there just for us to read them and just not take it seriously. And look into it to see, what is God saying? Everything, really, it's Jesus. He was the tabernacle. He was the lamb. He like Wild Bill said, he's the fire that came down on Pentecost. And in everything I studied, and I have all these notes, but everything so far leads directly to the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts, the second chapter. You can go to the first chapter, but for sure, Acts, the second chapter, verse 38. It goes directly, everything, because you're going to have the leading from God that when you come to him, you've got to believe it. You've got to receive it, and you've got to act upon it. And if you don't, you could wander in the wilderness for 4 years. You know, God's got it the way he planned it. And somebody said, oh, well, I'm going to go. Well, now, wait a minute. We must listen to God and follow his plan every day. And it's just, it works. And it doesn't work if we don't do that. So I was excited about the fact that in that one verse, he covered it. Repent. That means turn. It doesn't mean just say you're sorry. You've missed the whole thing. Obviously, you're sorry. You're feeling a repentant heart. But if you're repentant, you turn away from it. Nobody has to beat you up on it or anything. You've got a relationship. I've got a relationship with the Almighty God, and I'm going to turn to him. And if I don't do it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm not obedient. That is the pattern. And if I really, really mean it, just like Nicodemus, going to Jesus, we must be born again. We must. And that's the water and the spirit. And when I'm baptized, I repent. I was baptized in that name, that there is no other name. He made it plain through every one of these festivals, through every era of time. It's Jesus. That's the name. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. And then my sins are as if I had never done them. They are gone. But I still don't have power. So he comes and lives inside of me and you and anyone that obeys and really turns to him. Do they understand everything? I didn't. Some seem to have a greater revelation. But then all the way through the Bible, there were different levels of callings, and there were different levels of situations that people were expected to obey God and be obedient as far as the callings of God. But we can do it through the power of the Spirit of God. Christ in us, our hope of glory. And it's just a beautiful tapestry of how it all flows together. I don't know about other people, but for me, if I don't focus on it, truly focus, reading it, singing it, listening, if I don't do that, then I'm not saying it's a waste of time at all. None of it could be, but it's not the same as knowing him and he knowing us in the greatest, deepest way that he designed it to be. God designed that. We are his design, and he designed to live within us and for us to walk with him. It's so interesting that probably 35 or 40 years ago, I just all of a sudden wanted a radio program. And I know it was the leading of the Lord. I am amazed looking back on it for like, I think, 10 years that we had Walking Through the Land of Promise. God gave me that title. It's Walking Through the Land of Promise. And that was so deep and so rich and such a gift from God to give me that title, give me the desire, make a way for me to do it. And as I mentioned once before, when I was getting on YouTube and for the first times with the rap and the different things that God was laying on my heart to do, all of a sudden I saw a little tape, not the CD, but the little tape. And on it, it was me. And it said, it's me singing. And I'm singing the songs that I sang on that program. And we had also Worldwide Christian Radio that was with it. And I was sending those tapes all over the world. I just did if they requested them when I could. But anyway, a man named Ingo Brewer had put that on YouTube, and his testimony with it was that he had been in Germany, lived in Germany. He heard the worldwide broadcast and gave his heart to God. And I just think that is amazing that how step by step the Lord would use me and, you know, anything, and then let me have that one little token that, you know, that I could see that. He's so good to us. He knows what we need. And that little song, he knows what I need to walk this narrow way. He knows how to keep me humble and knows how to make me pray. Oh, I don't know if everybody remembers that. He knows when the cloud covers the sky and I'm walking through the valley low, I'll be on my knees calling on him because there's no place else to go. And that just came to my mind to fit in. So I'm talking a lot, and Sister Starla, you're one of my most, I am so privileged to be able to visit with you at times and to hear your great wisdom and your insight, your walk with God. So get ready to say something.
I'm not sure about the wisdom part, but I do love the Lord. And that testimony that God would give that little nugget to you to encourage you and let you see, you know, what you were able to do through God. And he is so good, and he does know us, and that is just awesome.
You know, it's just like you would do for your child or my child. You want to encourage him, it was especially at the close of that little season of my life, was when there were a lot of hard things in life for me to be a part of my life. And so it was like, if the enemy was going to tell me that the accuser and all that, well, the Lord just make me up a big chocolate cake there and sit it right there. That's bad, I guess. That really, there was a young man that came to our church. He's on the fourth album, and his name is Mark. He was on in the woods years and years. We have a picture of him when he came to church, and you would never know it was the same young man. And we had never, ever had chocolate cake at a recovery meeting that we had. And he was invited, and he came. And that night, for the first time ever, we had chocolate cake, and that is his favorite. So you wouldn't think that just that chocolate cake would make that much difference. But it, when you've been out in the world, you've been in the walk that he was walking, you feel worthless. And the enemy, the accuser again, he's going to come and point out all of the things you've ever done wrong, and that you this and that and whatever. And then something about, he smiles so precious, and, well, the Lord baked me a chocolate cake. I'm not too bad, you know. He was so, and he has been one of the hardest workers as far, well, he's in security in our church also, but as far as cleaning, I'd been here already years, and I had never seen anyone. I mean, not that the church was dirty or anything like that, but, I mean, he had all the trash, every class, out to the road, and it was just amazing. And he didn't have to do that. He just wanted to do that. And I think that's so wonderful when you come in to serve in the Lord, and you just, you know, you want to, you don't have to get in the pulpit and preach and all that, but you want to be a help. And like we were mentioning early, everybody's called to different parts of the body of Christ. And it's exciting, very exciting. What I'm doing right now is the day I felt like the Lord gave me an encouraging word about that, and I needed it. So anyway, we'll see. Because if you can, the better to light one candle than curse the darkness. And we all have that privilege for sure. I wanted to brag with you right about that time, because when you were here, you and Wabiel came to my surprise birthday party. My dog, for some reason, I'd given him a bath a couple of days before, but I don't know if he fell in a ditch, I guess. And he was looking, and before I knew it, you had him up, I already bathed him and dried him off, and I thought, wow, that's sweet. I appreciate that.
Jeez. Oh, he's a sweet dog.
Yeah, he takes after me. Well, I don't know why I said that, but he is a sweet little dog. He's blind, but he can see as far as the smell and hearing, you know, it's amazing to me. He knows everybody. And he knows, like, he'll go to the door, and if it's raining or if there's something like that, he looks up at me and like, I'll go later, because he don't want to get wet, our own conversation. And, you know, that, now we're wandering around for sure, but that's, to me, the way the Lord, when, you know, like, 10 people can be listening to the same story out of the Bible and get absolutely 10 different, not contradictory things, but messages from God. He can speak to you on whatever it is that you're needing, me, whatever I'm needing, and that's supernatural. Same scripture, but yet it meets every need. And then tomorrow, the same scripture could change the ministering ability in another way. So it is a supernatural word of God. And anybody that could get on a whatever kind of program and start studying. And I do highly recommend keeping a journal and remembering. Because you go through you read, remember certain things that you'd read before, certain times that things happened in your life that maybe that wouldn't apply right now, but it builds, like building your house on the rock. And you build, and these things build your faith and give you, it also could be something that God would want you to use. Now, I'm not speaking directly to you, Sister Starla, but all of us, to someone else, you know, to be prepared for an opportunity to witness during the day to someone. So it's alive, it's real, and it's good. So I will let you go because I see there, but I think it's time. And I do, again, love and appreciate every time y'all have a program.
Well, thank you so much, Plug Talk Mom. And I so did enjoy what you added tonight. And we want to thank our listeners for being with us. And thank you, Wild Bill, for being with us tonight. And I'm sorry you got wet. Anyway. We pray that you have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.